Welcome, everyone. Good to have you all here. Last week, we talked about the incredible treasure which we have received, and we said this treasure is the Bible, which is like cleansing water or a good friend, a song in our heart, or the sweet taste of honey in our mouth. It is all those things. It's like those things to those who want it. We mentioned that it was the most valuable of all treasures. In fact, it's more valuable than silver or gold or any other possession we might have. It offers us blessings, life, strength, wisdom, direction, freedom, and comfort. And we could go on adding to that list for a long time. Yet, knowing the Bible, what it's like and how valuable it is all worthless if we have no way of unlocking that great treasure and making it part of our daily lives. It's worthless. If we just have the Bible, if we just have it sitting here like this, even open, if we don't unlock what's in it, it's really a waste of paper. So how do we unlock this incredible treasure we have? Well, first, we need to love it. To love something is to embrace it with all we have, to allow it to get inside even to those spots where nothing else gets, deep inside us. Let me explain it this way. Kathy and I have been married for 46 years. I love her. I embrace her as she is the main focus of my life outside of God. She is the one I think of most. She's the one. She's the center focus of any human being. She's the one I think of most. She knows my deepest, dark secrets. She knows my joys. She knows my struggles. And Kathy is allowed to ask me those hard, hard questions, those deep questions of life that others, I might go, that's none of your business. But Kathy is allowed to ask me those questions. And the writer of Psalm 119, verse 97 declares, Lord, I really love your law. All day long, I spend time thinking about it. The writer is saying that he has a great affection for the Word of God. And he thinks about it all day long. Just like I think about Kathy because I love her. He's saying, I love your word. I love what you have to say. And I think about it all day long. Another word for thinking we could use is meditate or to ponder on what the Bible had to say to us. In Psalm 119, verse 15, and I guess I don't have to keep saying Psalm 119, so we'll just say the verses. So in verse 15, it says, I spend time thinking about your rules. I consider how you want me to live. The writer is saying that God's word has the authority to ask him questions about his life. How do you want me to live? He's saying, that word, God, your Bible, it has the authority to ask me the hard questions. Scott, are you loving your neighbor as yourself? It's a question that comes out when you read, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So the hard question is, are you loving your neighbor as yourself? Are you, Scott, loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? The writer is saying that as he meditates on the Bible, it has the right to ask him the questions. We need to be people who love this incredible treasure so much that we will read it each day and meditate and ponder on it throughout the day, what we have read. You know, Don came in this morning and he was sharing with me about something that he had read earlier. I'm not sure what time, because I know Don's an early morning guy, but he had read it earlier in the morning and he was sharing with me about it. In other words, he'd been pondering what he had read and the truths that are there. We need to do that. The words of the Bible need to reach the deepest recesses of our being. They are the words which we are to live by. If I'm going to unlock the treasure in our lives, if I'm going to unlock the Bible, I need to love it. And I need to meditate on it, take time to ponder it, and know what it's saying to me. Another thing we must do to really unlock the treasure, this treasure that we have, the Bible, is to study it. Let me tell you a story about Kathy. It's not in my notes, and she probably thought about it when she read my notes. But years ago, when we were living in Crofton, we had some friends, and the lady was English. They came over, her and her oldest daughter came over, and Kath said, "Well, would you like some tea?" And they said, "Sure." So they were sitting in the around the table, and Kath was making the tea. And so Kath likes weak tea. The way Kath makes tea, she puts the tea bag in, pours the water on the tea bag. When the cup's full, she pulls the bag out. Well, these English ladies, they were appalled. Like, can you leave that tea bag in there? Can you bring the tea bag to the table? So think about the difference between strong and weak tea. A strong cup of tea and a weak cup of tea. The same ingredients go into both. You have water and tea leaves. But the difference is how long you leave the tea in the water. The longer it steeps, the longer you leave that tea in there, the stronger it gets. The stronger the cup of tea. Reading the Bible is good, but it only reveals some highlights to us. If we're just reading it to read it, it only reveals the surface, the highlights. You get the gist, but not the whole truth. As we study, it's like steeping in God's Word. It's like soaking it in. The longer we're in the Word of God, the deeper we get, the stronger it gets into us. As we study, we find how things fit together. If we really start to study, we realize that Jesus is there in the book of Genesis, and he's in every book all the way to Revelation. There's a thread of Jesus through the whole Bible and many other things, and how it all connects together. We start to realize and see who our Heavenly Father is and what his character is like, and we become stronger in our Christian walk. The writer writes in verse 7, "I will praise you with an honest heart as I learn about how fair your decisions are," how fair the Word of God is. Interestingly, I've had someone over the past couple of weeks send me a number of emails. They started rereading the Bible in January, at the beginning of the year, and they started again in Genesis. And as they were reading through, there were some questions that came up. And they've emailed me and asked me those questions. Not that I'm the guy full of all answers, but they've been questions that I've searched for and sort of been able to help. This person is not just reading the Bible to read the Bible. They are studying it. They want to know what it's all about, how it all connects. How come this says this, but here it says this? Is there a discrepancy? How does it connect? Now, I don't want everybody in the whole congregation sending me emails every week. I don't have time to do that. I don't mind the odd question. Please feel free. But I would encourage folks to get a good study Bible, a life application Bible, or an NIV study Bible, something that's got the study notes at the bottom that shares that. Or you can also go online, and there's some good online tools like BibleStudyTools.com. And you can actually go to commentaries. These are written in the bulletin, folks, so you don't have to write them down. I put them right in the bulletin for you. Also, BibleGateway.com has got a zillion Bible translations there. They're good study tools. Now, when you go to the internet, everything you read on the internet is not true. Everything you read in a commentary is not necessarily truth either. What you want to do is look at a number of commentaries and then go, oh, look, three out of the four guys wrote, or four women wrote this. So, and they've explained it. This one's sort of a little iffy. That's what you want to do. There's just a good, as we study God's word, we unlock the truths into our lives. Studying is truly the start to unlocking the amazing treasure we have. But as we memorize portions of the Bible, we will unlock the treasures even more. As we memorize verses of the Bible, it gets into our mind and deep down into our heart. And it's there. It's there. The writer wrote in verse 11, I have hidden your word in my heart so that I won't sin against you. There's only one way for the treasure to get into the depths of our heart so it will always be there with us, and that's to memorize it, to allow it to soak in so deep. But this can be really challenging for a lot of people, to memorize a portion of Scripture. But it's not too bad if you take it, you find a Scripture that you want to memorize, and then you take it and you read it a number of times over and over and over again. You know, I've hidden your word in my heart so that I won't sin against you. I've hidden your word in my heart so I won't sin against you. Psalm 119, verse 11. And you start to get it, and then you start reading it out loud so you can hear it. And if it's a longer verse, you start to break it into sections. So you go, I've hidden your word in my heart. I've hidden your word in my heart. I've hidden your word in my heart. And once you've got that part, And you know you've got that part, then you can go on to the next little section. So that I won't sin. I've hidden your word in my heart so that I won't sin. So you take the first section and the next section, and you keep repeating it until you get it. I've hidden your word in my heart so that I won't sin. Oh, but who won't I sin against? Oh, right. So that I won't sin against you. I hidden your word in my heart so that I won't sin against you. Psalm 119, verse 11. If you keep doing it, take it in small chunks, it works for the most part. That's how Miss Kathy teaches the young kids upstairs to memorize verses. She teaches them to just break it down into small chunks. As we memorize a verse or a portion of Scripture, we are able to quickly bring it back to mind when we're in trouble, or we need it, or we're just thinking about God. The Holy Spirit can quickly bring it back to mind. Oh no, I'm not going to sin because I've hidden your word in my heart. It's right there, God. I'm not going to do that because that Scripture's there. I'm sure we can all see how valuable and how memorizing Scripture will unlock this incredible treasure. And as we trust all that is written in the Bible, it starts to unlock the promises, the instructions, the disciplines, and the likes that we find there. The writer states in verse 42, "Then I will answer those who make fun of me, because I trust in your word." I trust in your word. It is like this. If I have a good friend and they come and they give me some advice on a situation, and that advice turns out to be really good advice, true, solid advice, what do you think I'll do when my friend comes another time and says, "Hey, I just want to share something with you"? I'm going to listen, aren't I? I'm going to listen because, you know, they continually give me good advice, sound advice, solid advice. I'm going to listen and trust what they have to say. In the same way as we read the Bible, we find that we start to have things impressed on our minds. Maybe it's that we're not to fear or to love our neighbor. And the first time it might be hard to trust that. It might be, God, you want me to trust my neighbor? Every one of the other neighbors around me says that my neighbor, but every one of my other neighbors say that that neighbor is really hard to get along with. And God, your word says, you want me to love my neighbor? What if he turns against me? I heard that he's against all the things of God. What if he just goes up and down one side of me and rips me apart? But as we start to trust God's word, we see that it's yes and amen, and that we can love our neighbor. Now, they might not accept the love. Or, but we don't have to fear, because God is greater than fear. Fear is just false evidence appearing real. The first time, it might be hard, but the Bible is true. We start to realize that what God says is yes and amen. I mean, he says he will forgive all our sins, and he does. He says that he will love us, and he loves us unconditionally. And Jesus states that he will supply all our needs, and we lack no need. Jesus says he's going to come again, and he is. He will. We can count on it. As we trust the Bible, as we believe without a shadow of a doubt that it is his word to us, then it unlocks all those promises he has made. And whatever is written in the Bible, we can trust as truth. It just unlocks it. It goes, I don't have to hesitate. I don't have to hesitate when I hear his word. Without a doubt, trusting and believing the Bible unlocks this treasure we have. But to unlock it even more, we need to obey what we read. Just unlocking it's great. But if we don't obey it, what good is it? If God says to love your neighbor as yourself, but I don't obey it, what's the point of reading it? Listen to verse 3. They don't do anything wrong. They live as he wants them to live. The question that comes to mind is, who are they? We hear that. They said, who are they? Well, they are the people we talked about last week. Remember in verses 1 and 2? Those who followed the Bible were blessed. They followed the things. They obeyed the word of God, and they were blessed. Obeying fits right in with trusting. As we start obeying, we realize that this treasure has what we need to live a faithful life. A life which will honor and glorify our Heavenly Father. Yet we also see in obeying the words of the Bible, we are blessed. As we mentioned last week, it has all the instructions that we need for our daily lives in areas such as parenting, marriage, relationships, finances, character, and many others. We read in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, "But Samuel replied, 'What pleases the Lord more, burnt offerings and sacrifices, or obeying him? It is better to obey than to offer sacrifice. It is better to do what he says than to offer the fat of rams.'" What pleases the Lord more? What pleases the Lord more in our lives? To give huge offerings? No, that only pleases the pastor and the board. But to give huge offerings and disobey his word? No, he doesn't need our money. He wants us to obey the word. And as we obey the word, it unlocks it for us. See, Saul had not obeyed the word of the Lord here. And he had bowed to the peer pressure of the men instead of obeying God's word. And Samuel goes on to tell Saul that not obeying God's word is as sinful as witchcraft. That was pretty evil. And God was going to remove, because Saul did not obey his word, Samuel told him God was going to remove the kingdom from him. He was no longer going to be the king. Wow, that's pretty heavy consequences for not obeying the word of God. If I don't obey, you're going to get removed. This is the exact opposite to those who follow God's word. Remember? They are told they will be blessed. We unlock this wonderful treasure when we obey it. One last thing, which I want to bring out from Psalm 119, which unlocks the treasure of the Bible, is when we declare it. The treasure is not for us alone. The Word of God is not for us alone. It's for all to find and experience it. God wants everybody in Ashcroft and Cache Creek and Clinton and Kamloops and the surrounding areas and across the land and around the world to experience the Bible. He wants them to know it. That's why we read in verse 13, "With my lips I talk about all of the decisions you have made." The writer is declaring that he will talk about what God has told him, what the word proclaims, what God's word says. Isn't that what Jesus told us to do? When he stated, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone." Isn't that the same thing as what the writer in Psalm 119, verse 13 says? "With my lips, I talk about all the decisions you have made." The decision that God has made is that he sent his one and only son to die on the cross for us. And we're to go tell him. We're going to tell the world, tell everyone about it. We need to declare it. The writer is declaring that when we talk about God, what God has told us to proclaim in his word. Listen to what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 10, verses 14 to 15. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That's why the scripture says, "How beautiful are the feet of the messenger who brings the good news." Jesus has sent each one of us. We're sent by him to declare his word to those in our communities, those who live around us, those we come in contact with. We are the feet with his message to those around us. Not that we ram it down their throats, but we need to live it and declare it. As we declare the supernatural treasure to those around us, we unlock the power it is for us and for all who will receive it. We have this treasure. We have the Bible. But will we unlock it so we can experience all it has for us? Will we love it, meditate on it, study it, memorize it, trust it, obey it? When we do this, God's word soaks into the deepest parts of our being. That's why the writer of Hebrews wrote, "For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between the soul and the spirit, between the joint and the marrow. It exposes the innermost thoughts and desires." Hebrews 4, verse 12. An unlocked Bible will change lives from the inside out. It gets deep inside us and will start to change us. As we allow the treasure, this treasure, to become an interactive part of our daily lives, something that we recognize as great, with great value, we will declare it to those so they can see the valuable treasure for themselves. It's not about us. It's not given for us alone. Forgiven for everyone. Will we unlock the Bible? Will we unlock it in our lives so we will get the most out of it? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your wonderful gift, the treasure that you gave us that explains everything, that declares how we need to live, declares how we need to come to the Savior, how you sent Jesus as the Savior. It declares that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It declares that you're a faithful, righteous God. You're a just God. You're a loving, compassionate, generous God. Thank you for the incredible treasure you've given us. Lord, may we not just read it on the surface, but may we love it and study it and memorize it, Lord. May it get deep into our beings that the Holy Spirit can use it to recall quickly when we need it. Thank you, Father, for this treasure. May we share it with those around us. In Jesus' name, amen.